Time for the East West Hot Stove. As always, Al Morganti out in Philadelphia, and our West Coast correspondent is Eric Dehatchik. Gentlemen, good morning. I want to start here with Mr. Morganti. Yesterday in the New York Times, a hockey story from the sports page talking about the Goudreau family. John Goudreau and his younger brother Matthew, they were both Boston College this year. And the story goes that before Goudreau committed to Boston College, he left it up to his younger brother. You decide where we're going to go. I'll go there, and then you come and follow. And ultimately, they chose Boston College. Now, near the end of the story, and again, you have been of the contention and the belief that once this season is done, whenever it is, now they play this weekend with a loss to Denver in round one of the Frozen Four tournament, the season could be over.
Right.
You believe
get that plane ride.
You believe that that he will shortly thereafter sign a contract with the Calgary Flames. Now, I'm not looking to stir things up here in the home front, but I'm always just very curious reading this story out of the New York Times yesterday. Talking to his mother, Jane Goudreau, and near the end of the story, it talks about the Flames. He's, of course, a draft pick. He loved getting drafted, all of that. The Flames are telling Goudreau to focus on the coming tournaments and make the decision. Goudreau's mother would like to see her son finish college and graduate, and he said his mother usually prevailed in these kinds of things. Quote,
yeah.
Quote, I don't think he gets it that when you go out there, it's not going to be all fun and games, says Mama Goudreau. As his mom, I'd like to see him take one more year to get a little bigger, a little stronger, and to enjoy his senior year. He's never had a homecoming. He's never had a prom. He missed his high school graduation. He said he'd have a graduation picture for me. Have your senior year. You will never get that back.
She just finished in second place.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's more persuasive, Brian Burke and Craig Conroy or Mama Goudreau?
Or his dad, too. No, they're more persuasive. You can understand the mother coming where she's coming from. But I think this is a done deal. There's no upside to him staying. I mean, you know, I'm all for education and, you know, where you should put, you know, you know, learn where to put the comma in your paycheck, I guess. It's ridiculous. There's absolutely zero upside for him staying. He can go back, get his degree if he wants. I mean, the party for winning a bean pot's better than a graduation party. So he's been there, done that. There's absolutely no way that argument is going to get him to stay at Boston College. If the argument to just keep playing with your brother isn't good enough, that's not gonna wash.
Yeah. Nonetheless, Eric, you know it'll be maybe not so much for Burke, but you know for Conroy and some of the people in the front office. This might be this is not what they want to hear. They don't want to hear anything right now. It's just go and play, nothing to see here, and then when it's done, we'll talk, right?
Yeah, and I think Al has got the right end of the stick there. That's how parents are, you know, and I think, you know, his mom is right. I mean, it would be nice for him. He will graduate. I mean, if he cares enough about his education, you know, you can pick up your senior year in the summers at night, you know, that's. And he should do that. I mean, I'm a big believer in that. But if he's ready to play, he needs to take that opportunity. And by all accounts, there's nothing to be gained from having another year in college. I think you can get stale by being in a situation where you've met those challenges, and it's time to meet the next challenge. And if you go back and play one more year, maybe you don't have as good a year, and maybe something bad habits. Creep into your game. He needs to move on to the next step, which might be minor pro. I mean, I think that if there's an opportunity to put him in the lineup before the end of the season, they will. Who knows what the future will bring? I mean, he'll test it out at the NHL level. If he's as good as he appears to be, he'll be in the lineup when they start. If not, if he has to go and play half a year in Abbotsford, that's not the worst thing. I keep going back to Joey Mullen. Joey Mullen started in Salt Lake City. It didn't do him any harm. He scored a goal a game down there. When he got to the NHL, he was ready, became a Hall of Famer. I think that's the career path that Mullen took, and I think it would be a good one for Goudreau as well.
Is that the one thing that they need to do is temper things a little bit? I mean, it's talked about a lot here. Goudreau is coming. He's going to be the next great thing. But it's a different world playing in the NHL than college hockey.
I suppose, but if I'm Calgary now, I'm not tempering anything.
Yeah.
I look what happened in Colorado where you just basically went in saying, I believe. If I'm Calgary, I'm not telling anybody to not get excited about what's going on or what could go on. If I'm Calgary and I know what's going on up the road, I'm like, we can be kings of the world if we just believe. He's actually had a pretty a really good year when you look at things that they've done, the way that they've played. I mean, I think the future is pretty bright there, relatively. And if you paint, sometimes if you paint it a little bit brighter, it gets there. I see no reason why the Calgary Flames would try to tamp down on anything. I would say we got a shot here. Let's take it.
Because you know what, Eric, that's kind of the way it's been here for a while, hasn't it? When Dion came in, you know, Norris Trophy nomination. Oh well, let's just keep things. You know, you just never know. And I don't. Maybe it's because Tim Erickson didn't want to sign. But it seems every time a player comes in, and we saw it with Monahan, and we see it all the time. There is that sentiment. And I don't. Is there anything bad in saying, yeah, get excited because we might have something special?
Well, the only thing is, I mean, at the start of the season, Edmonton said, let's get excited here. Let's talk it up. Let's make sure everybody knows that we are not this rebuilding team anymore. We are right there on the cusp of the playoffs and great things. And the minute you commit to that point of view and you have the kind of year that Edmonton has, you know, people get fired for things like that because they unnecessarily raise expectations. So there is a middle ground there, you know, and I think it's called realism. So I think that that's where you have to be in Calgary. I mean, you know, I see Calgary play San Jose that hard, and then I see San Jose dismiss Edmonton. And I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a fan of the Edmonton Oilers, I'm concerned because, you know, like a lot of times skilled players are soft players, but Edmonton is just like Swiss cheese right now. I mean, the teams are just going through them. There's no pushback. And you know, you have to wonder now, do you have the right group of young players? And that's, you know, you don't seem to have those questions in Calgary right now because they push back and they're pushing hard. And so, yeah, there's real reason to be excited. And you'd have to say that, you know, if everyone thought that they might have to take a step back for 3 to 5 years, maybe it isn't going to be that long. So somewhere between, you know, like raising expectations unrealistically and then having them crash down if things don't go your way, and completely tempering everything, like you were saying earlier, that's the middle ground that you have to plow through right now.
We're chatting with Al Morganti and Eric Tkachuk. It's the East-West Hot Stove. Coming up, the next, it's the next game for the Leafs. I'm not sure what the Flyers have, Morganti, but it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're going to be in Philly for their next matchup. They lose 5-3 to St. Louis last night. Dion Phaneuf looked awful. A couple of the goals were just terrible. Shots were 49-25, and the Leafs have gone from second in their division to out of the playoffs entirely. And this will be a big game for Philadelphia as well. They're chasing the Rangers for home ice in round one of the Metropolitan playoffs. And I don't know how closely you watch the Leafs or you hear about it, but of course we get force-fed it up here. But I think there's going to be a lot of people cheering for the Flyers coming up when these two teams meet.
Yeah, the Flyers get a big one with the Rangers tonight at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
Yeah, the Leafs, not that I gamble at all, but their chances of making the playoffs have gone in like 2 weeks from like 85% to about 12. It's unbelievable. And the whole goaltending situation there, they got in a Twitter mess with the agent. Everything gets blown out of proportion in Toronto, but I got to say, it got ugly so fast. The ironic thing is, should they get in somehow, they would give Boston trouble. They did give Boston trouble before. To me, the two Canadian teams are the teams that would give Boston trouble, Toronto and Montreal. So should they get in? But right now, watching them, you see a lack of confidence. You mentioned, you know, one guy playing particularly poorly. It's going to get picked upon, especially in that market. I think they still have time to write it, and we certainly have to start right here in with the game with Philadelphia on Friday. If they go down the tubes in that thing, I think it's pretty much pack it in, you're done.
I mean, they do have four home games left after that, and Calgary's coming through, and Winnipeg's coming through. Detroit is obviously a key match. I mean, you look at the standings today, there's four teams with 80 points. So even though other teams have games in hand, if they win their games, they will be in the playoffs. I haven't seen a collapse this epic in a long time in the National Hockey League. It happens, but it generally doesn't happen very much in an era where, you know, you can steal an extra point by losing in overtime. And, you know, these seismic shifts that we've seen in the last 2 weeks, I mean, it defies the math. I mean, you know, let's not even talk about the hockey. It defies the math. You know, that's why those sites are out there, those calculating the odds sites. I mean, you know, the math says that when you're as far ahead as they were of the pack 2 weeks ago, you should get in the playoffs. And so, you know, I mean, I look at the on-ice thing, and the one thing that I wonder about is, you know, do they have the leadership there to come out of this? I mean, the goaltending hasn't been great. The defense hasn't been great. Well, they were winning at different times this year without playing great defense. But, you know, I think of Phil Kessel as a very quiet guy. I mean, who is going to, you know, take that team by the bootstraps and lift it up? You know, it seems to me that, you know, every time you turn on the television, the only person talking is Joffrey Lupul. So if the, you know, if it's Lupul and if it's Dion Phaneuf and no one else is stepping up, then they've got a leadership void that they have to fill. And if they don't do it this year, they're going to have to fill it.
Well, and their captain was the worst player on the ice last night, was -3 and was on the ice for 4 of those 5 St. Louis goals. Eric, you've watched. I don't know that I've ever seen him play that poorly.
Well, and that's just it. You know, I mean, you know, when you're in crunch time, you've got to pick your game up. You cannot go backwards. You've got to go forwards, especially when things are like that. But it seems that, you know, goaltending, when you know, what is it, Harry Neal said, you know, it's 75% of the game. Unless you don't have it, then it's 100% of the game. And so, you know, like if you're not getting goaltending, it infects everything else. People try to do too much. Suddenly you're not in position. You're doing somebody else's job because you're afraid the next thing is going to go in, and suddenly you can't play anymore, too. I mean, Rhett should be addressing this. I mean, you know what happens when the goalie isn't stopping the puck. Suddenly you're trying to do 3 jobs instead of 1.
I have hard enough with my own.
Yeah,
but you're right. I think they do try. And it seems to be a trend, though, with Dion. I mean, the Boston series, they're up. He's one of the guys that's on the ice when they're getting scored on at the end of that game 7.
Yeah, it is. But it's also, you know, you can also coach a defensive system when things start to go wrong. It can also be, I mean, systems are so important that, you know, to call something, to call a certain type of style or play. I don't see anything they can fall back on defensively. I never see a team, like most teams, let's get back to the basics, we'll start our offense from this, we'll play safe. I don't see that their coach has ever put any sort of defensive thing, shell, that you can kind of fall back upon. And I guess then it's what Eric said, somebody trying to step out, do too much, go here. They look a mess. Just overall defensive play, it's just horrible. And I know you can pick on one guy, but I gotta think it can be pounded into you that we're going to do things a little bit differently here overall, especially with the goaltending we have, and they haven't.
Yeah, and you wonder, what can you do? Because you've just signed Phaneuf to that extension. You're going to trade your goalie, I suppose. Are you going to fire Carlisle, and then you got to replace him with somebody? You got to trade Gardner, or I guess you keep Riley. Maybe you trade Gardner. It seems like because I think everybody agrees. Anybody that's watched them at all with regularity this season sees how porous they are defensively, and I just don't think one move or one trade or one aspect changes that.
Well, unless you can find, I mean, this doesn't happen very often. But if you ever were to find a Ryan Suter guy in free agency, is what you need, because the minute you put somebody like that in the lineup, like Minnesota has, and everybody then plays down the depth chart and plays at the level where they're supposed to play, the pieces all start to fall into place. But those guys are few and far between, and when they hit free agency, they get $100 million.
All right, fellas, have yourself a great week. We're up against it. We'll talk to you on next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Al Morganti and Eric DeHatchick. It's the East-West Hot Stove.